We wait a long time for it. It's finally here. Thursday will be the NFL draft. Here to talk about it from the Jets perspective, guy who does a great job covering that team, Manish Mehta, New York Daily News. Nice enough to join us on a Saturday night. Manish, how are you?
I'm good, Chris. How you doing?
Good. Let's talk about the mood around the Florham Park and about the Jets in general. What are they thinking about these days, and how do you – I mean, look, it's spring training, so I guess everybody's in a good mood, thinking they're going to get the guy they want. How do you feel the Jets are approaching this?
Well, I think they're a lot less stressed than they were this time a year ago when they were, you know, still looking for a quarterback. It's a lot different, of course, when you think you have your guy in the building. But look, I think people, in fact, I know people in the organization are pleased with how things have gone to this point with free agency and getting guys like C.J. Mosley and Le'Veon Bell, of course, a couple other pieces in-house that they wanted to bring back. At this point, if you just look at, you know, what they have in terms of draft capital entering Thursday night, they've got only 6 picks, and there's only 2 teams in the league, Chicago and Seattle, I believe, who have fewer than 6 picks in this draft. So Mike Maccagnan's primary goal, I believe, is to, you know, get additional draft capital. The best way to do that, of course, is to trade down. And, of course, it takes 2 to tango, so there's no guarantee that they're going to actually be able to do that.
Yeah, isn't it harder to do than people want to believe? Like, I remember, you know, we've been through so many of these drafts, and you talk about it all the time. They'd like to trade down. It doesn't happen very often because it's just hard to come up with something that's fair that you can sell to your fans if you're the one that's giving up more to get less. I mean, it's just a hard thing to pull off when it needs to be done.
No, I agree, and it becomes that much more difficult when there isn't a strong quarterback class, because if you looked at last year, clearly it was a much more coveted class. You had the Jets pretty early in the process trading up with Indianapolis to be in position to get a quarterback, and then you saw Arizona do the same thing in trading with, I believe, Washington from 15 to 10. So you had 2 teams trading down because there were other teams looking to get a franchise quarterback, and when you look at the landscape of quarterbacks available this time around, it's at least on paper, you know, we won't definitively know for a long time, but at least on paper, you know, this crop of quarterbacks doesn't really compare to what we saw in the first round last year, and I think that would make it that much more difficult for a team like the Jets to try to slide down from 3.
Do you like the draft as a story and as a reporter, or does it wear you out a little bit? Because to me, it wears me out, and I say that only because we'll grade these players, we'll talk about them as if the Jets had a great draft, and that's part of your job, and you and every other reporter that covers a team, you know, your readers are looking for that. What's the buzz? What do people say about the draft? How did the Jets do? But in the end, you know, we're grasping at straws here. We don't know yet. The players are just names. I mean, we still don't know, Manish, whether in the end Josh Allen will be a better quarterback than Sam Darnold, or Sam will be better than Josh Allen.
Yeah, I agree with you. Just from where I'm sitting, Monday morning we'll roll around and I'll have a story about the grades for each draft pick.
Yeah. And every other guy in the country.
Right. And look, I'm not even why even bother lying about this? The guys the Jets draft on day 3 and probably on day 2 are guys that I've never seen before, and I've only read about. It's the guys in the first 2 rounds in which you spend this time in the run-up to the draft talking to personnel people around the league to get a better sense of who those guys would be. But look, I'm with you. You're not going to really know what any of these players are for, you know, 2 to 3 years minimum. I remember in 2014 when the Jets had those 12 draft picks and the Idzik 12, as it's known, or, you know, around Jetville. And right after that draft, I believe on Sunday, you know, when the draft just got completed, or maybe a few days later, Rex Ryan gave that draft an A, and it ended up being one of the worst drafts in the history of the franchise. But I think just in the run-up, that's post-draft. The run-up to the draft, to me, is a bit annoying because there's so much time. They've extended this process out because the NFL wants to be a year-round operation, and they want to have buzz and hype around every little element that they're, you know, that they're doing. And I think this drawn-out process between free agency and the draft, to me, is a bit ridiculous. This draft could have been 2 weeks ago, and I think things would have been fine. But just in terms of excitement, I understand, you know, where the fans are coming from. That being said, when I was growing up, I loved the draft on Saturday and Sunday, make it a two-day event over the weekend. The fact that they've made it a prime time is for obvious reasons, but it can be a bit annoying, and I'm sure fans are probably tired of all the discussion about what makes sense for the Jets and what doesn't. They probably just want to get the guys in house and see how they develop and play in 2019.
Yeah, and it works. So I never scoff at anything that works. You know, if you can charge $14 for a beer and sell them, then who the hell am I to tell you not to do it? You know, and I feel the same way here. If people are going to act like they know when a player is picked, whether that player will work out or not, then fine. I mean, they're enjoying it. They're having a good time. Like you said, I was that way too, much more into the draft than I am now and much more excited about it. And a lot of people get excited about it. So I'm not blaming anybody. I just find it a hard time to really, get excited in April about what may or may not be. They're just names until they play is the bottom line. Let's talk a little bit about need versus best player available. Age-old argument. Where's Maccagnan on that in your mind, and how much pressure is he feeling? You talked about, last year and the pressure with the quarterback and getting it right. He has not got a great record in the draft. So, personally, is he under a lot of pressure in your mind?
Yeah, he's absolutely under a lot of pressure. Now, that being said, I don't think he's on the hot seat. I do not foresee a scenario where the ownership would part ways with the general manager after this season and keep the head coach, and I don't foresee a possibility, barring something catastrophic, of ownership getting rid of the head coach. So that's a roundabout way of me saying that the head coach and the GM will be around through 2020. But that doesn't mean that there isn't pressure on Maccagnan, because as you said, look, his draft record is not stellar, and you and I just discussed that it takes a little bit of time to see what these drafted players ultimately become, but the early returns, dating back to when Maccagnan was hired, isn't really that good, and especially outside of the top six. He's had some good players that he's taken, at least we think, are going to be good players. Jamal Adams is already a Pro Bowler. Leonard Williams, to me, is a very good player. We'll see what happens with Sam Darnold. But outside of that, if you're really being objective and unbiased about it, his draft record after the first round, and even in the mid-first round, because remember, he took Darren Lee with a mid-first round pick, hasn't been particularly good. So I do think there's a lot of pressure on him. I know that he feels internal pressure, as he probably should. If you want to be a good general manager and you're hired because you've got a scouting background, well, you've got to make some good picks, and they've got to be good picks not only in the first round, but more importantly, perhaps, in the second, third, and beyond. And to this point, he hasn't really had a consistent record after the first day of the draft.
Yeah, and he puts more pressure on himself if he trades down, and you always wonder about, the individual versus the team, and, if he's nervous, trading down is more of a risk than taking a star player up top in all likelihood. Now, that star player at three could bust too, but it's less likely than trading down and then making mistakes later with lower-grade talent. So whether that enters into it or not, we'll all kind of wait and see. As you look at this team, they have really gone defensive for a long time, and the league has gone more offensive. They made more rules that promote offense. They like fantasy, which is based more on offense. They don't look like they're going to be coming back toward defense and their rule changes anytime soon. So is this year the Jets focus more on offense in your mind, or what are your thoughts?
Look, I would be surprised, Chris, if they took an offensive player with their first pick, unless they really move down, fairly significantly. Because if they move from 3 to, let's say, somewhere in the neighborhood of 10, I'm just making up that number, but they move down in that range, then you're looking at an offensive lineman. It could be Alabama's Jonah Williams, who knows. But I think that offensive line would be the target if they move down to that area. Short of that, if they do move down one or two spots and you're still talking about top 5, top 6 pick, it's going to be a defensive lineman, and in all likelihood, that's the strength of this draft. Mike Maccagnan, like every general manager, will tell you that the draft is all about taking the best player available. You hear that term so often during this time of the year. I think there's a fine balance, of course, because if the best player was a quarterback, which it's not in this particular draft, but clearly the Jets would not take a quarterback. So you have to kind of balance your need and you know, what the best value is. But I do think, look, the best value for them, barring a trade down, will be a defensive lineman, and I would be stunned, frankly, if they didn't take one with their first pick.
And are you in the camp, which is, and you've gone through this long enough to know that, you know, some years it's everyone wants a corner. We got to get better corners. Now, the edge pass rusher has been in vogue for a while now, and what fans talk about, and obviously last year's deal between the Raiders and Bears, you know, added to that because it worked out pretty well for the Bears and they were able to use the player the way they wanted to and everything worked out. But bottom line is the fan right now and seemingly management is infatuated with the edge pass rusher. Is that reasonable?
I think just generally speaking, yeah. I mean, the edge pass rusher is outside of the quarterback, you can make a solid case that's the second most important position on an NFL field. You know, the other position would be left tackle, I think. And then cornerback, to me, would be fourth. If you talk to different coaches, you know, they might disagree. For example, Rex Ryan would say that cornerback is more important, you know, than some of those other positions outside of quarterback. But you know, I will tell you this with 100% certainty. If Nick Bosa, for example, somehow slid to three, which he will not, but if he somehow did in a fairy tale world, the Jets would take him. If Nick Bosa isn't there, I don't believe the Jets are taking an edge pass rusher at three. That, you know, that's just my just a feeling that I get based on the information that I have. I would tend to think that if they cannot trade out of three, and if they're, for lack of a better word, stuck at that position, I don't believe they're taking an edge pass rusher. I could be wrong, and no one has definitively said to me that, you know, we would not take an edge pass rusher. But just the information that I have, I think you know, if Bosa were off the board, and if you assume, and maybe it's dangerous to do so, but if you assume that Kyler Murray were the number one pick to Arizona or to anybody, I would say that there's a better than a likely chance that the Jets would not take an edge pass rusher at three.
So Quinnen Williams would be more likely.
I would take Quinnen Williams. I'm not a general manager, but I think he's the best choice. I think he's the best player. I think you can easily make a case he's the best player in the draft, including Nick Bosa. I think the Jets would disagree with that. I think they would have Bosa ahead of Quinnen Williams. I would take Quinnen Williams at three. I'm not saying the Jets will take Quinnen Williams at three just yet. It's Saturday. The draft is Thursday. I think I have a much better idea in a couple days, you know, kind of where the Jets stand on a few things. But to this point, I would be very surprised if the Jets took an edge rusher like Josh Allen over Quinnen Williams.
Let's finish with where you believe they are ranking their need. If the Jets were to let you know off the record what their needs were, what would you expect them to say in terms of positions that they are most fearful of or most concerned about that they'd like to get better fast?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, pass rusher would be at the top of that list, whether that's edge pass rusher, interior pass rusher. I think you put pass rusher on you know, at one.
At one, okay.
Yeah, and offensive linemen, specifically interior, and even more specifically center, would be two. Offensive tackle is also probably a top five need in their estimation, and I would tend to agree with them, but I would say center over tackle at this point. Cornerback is close behind, or if not, tied for second in need. You know, if you want to say center, cornerback would be another position, and I don't rule out skill position, offensive skill position, whether that's big wide receiver, whether that's even a pass catching running back. You know, I know they have Le'Veon Bell, dynamic player. I'm just telling you, like, what they're thinking is that offensive skill position is not something that's off the table. That's still something that's important to them, which is interesting because I just listed, what, four or five different areas of need, and again, they only have six picks and no second-round picks. So how many impact players are you really going to get in this draft? As it currently stands, they've got the two third-round picks. One is a very late third-round pick from the Saints trade for Teddy Bridgewater, and one is a, you know, their own third-round pick. So you're talking two, maybe three immediate contributors. That's fewer than the number of needs that I just outlined.
No, I think you're absolutely right, and I think Jet fans, for the most part, as much as they are excited about having a great player or potential great player and a top three pick, I think most Jet fans would like to see them trade down if they could possibly do it because there are just too many needs on this team and not enough ways to get them if they don't trade down. Manish, good conversation. We appreciate it. We'll talk again. Thanks.
Thanks, Chris. Take care.